Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you're joining us here today in Decatur, Texas. Now, we're running a little bit late this morning. Just things happen. That's all I'm going to say. Things happen. For those of you that are on Facebook that wished me a happy birthday yesterday, I want to say thank you. I appreciate that. My wife took me out to dinner at a place called Texas de Brazil, where it was all you could eat meat, so I may have overindulged in food. God will forgive me for that sin. But they had these chicken breasts wrapped in bacon. I'm just telling you. It's fantastic. But for those that wish me a happy birthday, I do thank you for that. My wife got me three books. I got a couple of books on Bible prophecy and Gruden's Systematic Theology to add to my collection of books about theology. So I'm excited and glad about what God is doing, what he's done for this past, now turning 53. For the past 53 years, he's kept me alive, kept me working for him, even many times when I've maybe fallen way, way short. But I'm glad that you're with me here today. We're going to continue in Hebrews chapter number 2, starting with verse number 10, working our way out to finish out chapter 2 today, hopefully. If time permits, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. Continue to remember Billy Parker as he is on the road to strong recovery. Bobby Parker, his wife, she has to support him because, you know, when a husband's sick, sometimes that can cause a little stress on the wife. Remember Kim Ball, she got a great report from the doctor this week. No more treatments. Just going to keep a watch on it. Praise God. God is a great God, and he's a healing God. And I say that if you need healing this morning, if you can just get a hold of him and let him touch you in a powerful way, you will find that he has your answer. Continue to remember all the pastors that are crossing what I call the spiritual picket lines today to preach the unadulterated word of God, the true gospel, as we move into these last days. Whether or not you know it or not, we are in the last day, I believe the last days, however that's going to play out. If you watch the news, you've got wars and rumors of wars, potentially World War III brewing over in Eastern Europe. It's like the same walk up as we did World War I, which was the war supposedly to end all wars. Yeah, that worked out real well. But since the war to end all wars, we had World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War. So we've not really done a good job on ending war. But there is coming one that will have us beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. And he will reign forever in peace and glory. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you ever have a prayer request, please make sure that you send them to me at PastorStansberry@gmail.com. I will pray for them every morning until you call me off, tell me not to pray. But I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that we are, as believers, should pray every day, study God's word. And again, still trying to figure out some things that I want to do, some changes I want to make and how some things that we do. Just not sure yet how I'm going to make those things happen. Trying to get the door there out of that camera shot. It's kind of tacky. Hey, you can hear my dog Merlin in the background, just letting everybody know that he's up and awake too. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your glory, that you know us by name, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or ask or even imagine. And Father, we thank you. We stop and we give you praise and glory for what you've already done in the lives of your people through healing, through deliverances. And I'm believing, God, that today, as we continue deep into your word, that you're going to change people's lives. You're going to move Eric out of the way and let them hear the unadulterated, the true word of God, as you change them, as you bring them into that place with you. And Father, for what we know you're going to do, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hang on, I got to step right over here. Forgot the words to my song. Well, I didn't forget this over there. But this is an old Dottie Rambo song. It says, I have too much to gain to lose. Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember there's too much to gain to lose. Across the hot burning deserts, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead, there's cool, clear water, and defeat is one word I just don't use. Too many sunsets lie close behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. And we shall behold him. We shall behold him. Face to face with all of his glory. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. There's too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose.
Praise the Lord. You know, you start really thinking about the treasures that are waiting for us over there. Not just, you know, people get into the thing about streets of gold, a mansion. But for me, time has begun to really wield that truth that time is now more of a taker than a giver. As I read Facebook, so many people have crossed over that I knew, not personally per se, but I knew of them, and they've crossed over. Those of you that have lost parents this past year, the year prior, for me, this one worked about 7 years since my dad passed and about 2 years since my mom passed. And it's just, you start looking at time differently. But the thing that excites me is that when I get to the other side, not only will I be reunited with my family that have gone on who died in Christ, but I get to see my older brother, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is Christ as our brother. If you have a Bible and you want to go there, go to Hebrews chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading with verse number 10. For it was an act worthy of God and fitting to the divine nature that he, for whose sake and by whom all things have their existence, in bringing many sons into glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect, should bring to maturity the human experience necessary to be perfectly equipped for his office as high priest through suffering. Verse 11. For both he who sanctifies, making men holy, and those who are sanctified, all have one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. For he says, I will declare the Father's name to my brethren in the midst of the worshiping congregation. I will sing hymns of praise to you. And again, he says, my trust, assured reliance, and confidence, the hope shall be fixed in him. And yet again, here I am, and I am the children whom God has given me. That's 10 through 13. So first of all, understand that we are called the family of God. Yeshua calls us family. From the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God intended to bring us, the human race, into his family. Now understand that as humans, we were made as image bearers of God.
We were told to take care of his creation. But there are also other sons of God, the Bana Elohim, the angels who did not sin, and then the angels that did sin are also considered sons of God. That's why in John 3:16 he says that the only begotten or the unique Son of God, because if you've really studied this out, you understand that God, at various times, in certain ways, every time that he appeared, there was somehow a reference to, he even told Israel, look, my name is going with you. The Hashem is going with you like a person, which we now know is a theophany of Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So understand that if you've been brought into the family, you've been brought into relationship, the Spirit has convicted you and you've come in, you're a child of God. You belong to that family. You're now part of this family unit. You say, well, Brother Eric, you don't know what family I grew up in, how crazy my family is. Look, I don't think anybody's family has a corner on crazy, okay? And none of our families have a corner on the things that we deal with or that they have caused us to deal with. But what we need to do, what we need to understand, what we need to completely grasp is that we're no longer part of that family per se, that we've been bought and adopted into the family of God through Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, a bondservant, but a son or a child. When we say son, we're talking about a child of God, so don't get hung up on gender. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ. So that means that you're an heir of what God has for you. Do you understand that your healing, your deliverance, everything that you need comes because you're an heir of God? He is giving you these gifts. If you've been adopted, if you've been brought into his family, then you have access to these things. That's what John says in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown and bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. Notice what he says, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, or acknowledge him. You see, the reason the world hasn't figured out all that's going on in it is that, first of all, they don't recognize God. The God of this world, the small g God of this world, has blinded them, so they can't see. So God, from the very beginning, intended for humanity, us, he set us apart for himself. Notice in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. God said, let us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I'm reading from the Amplified Classic, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority. Can I just tell you, if you're a child of God, you got some authority. Time to start using it. Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beast, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. And have dominion over the flesh, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves upon the earth. Can I just say that as image bearers of God, there's some things that should not be in our vocabulary. One, we shouldn't have racism. Two, we shouldn't have genderism. When we say a woman is less than a man or a man is more than a woman, all that should be gone. We shouldn't be looking at somebody based on their origin, where they're from. Once you're a child of God, all that goes away. You're no longer white, Caucasian, English, whatever tag you want to start throwing. You belong to God. You're a child of God. You're an image bearer of, you're now the image of Christ. And he wants you to come into that relationship, come into that understanding, because God wanted to redeem humanity back to himself. And so part of this is that Christ declares in the midst of the assembly of, what assembly? We're going to talk about that. That we're his family. Look at Psalm 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. Now, some versions will say the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. That's in the Greek there, obviously. In the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Now, first of all, notice something. Who's he declaring us his brethren to?
See where I'm going? The fallen angels, the fallen realm, and the current angels, he declares in the midst of all of them in the throne room of God, these are my brethren. These are my family. This is my brothers and my sisters. And because of that, they're now part of this divine council. And if you want more information on how all that plays out, I refer you to the works by Michael S. Heiser called The Unseen Realm, where he really discusses the divine council idea and who we are as believers. But the thing that you need to be aware of, the thing that you should understand, is that in front of all of glory, when you become a child of God, Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, the coming King of Kings, stands in the midst of that assembly and calls you family. See, I don't think you heard me. Some of you that are watching this later or listening to this later, you're going, I don't get it. What do you mean? In the midst of the assembly, we are presented to the Father not as a servant, not as a slave, but we are presented to the Father as his children. In Isaiah chapter 8, verses 17 through 18, this is what we read. And one shall say, I will wait for God, who has turned away his face from the house of Jacob, and I will trust in him. So he's saying, there's a verse he starts saying, look, I know that God is upset with Jacob right now, or Jacob, and so I'm going to turn my face. I'm just going to wait for God to do something. But then notice what he says in verse 18. Behold, I and the children which God has given me, and they shall be for signs and wonders in the house of Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. We, Eric, you, wherever you're listening from or watching from, we are now the children that God has given Yeshua, the Messiah, who are for signs and wonders. What do you mean? We are supposed to walk in the authority and be the image bearer, be the earthly representative of Christ. Not the earthly representative of a church, not the earthly representative of a denomination, but the earthly representative of Christ. That's why he said, these signs will follow them that believe. That's why when we know that to him that believeth, all things are possible, according to Mark. That pistis, that faith, that's the actual act of currently believing. You see, a lot of us say, well, I believe, duh. I will believe. It's the current, but he's not asking you to believe in the future. He's not worried about what you did in the past. He says, I need you to believe now. Believe for your healing now. Kenneth Hagin, in his study guide on how to learn how to walk in the Spirit, he goes, part of the confession of faith is, and I have this now. He's not saying that you deny that you're sick, that you deny you've got these problems, but he's saying that you, instead, rather than focus on what you've got wrong, I've got an answer coming. My Father has already given me as an heir and a joint heir with Christ. My healing is covered. My deliverance is covered. Everything I need has been covered in the power of God through the adoption of myself through the blood of Yeshua. The problem with so many of us is that we are focused so much in this physical realm that we've forgotten that we are not part of this physical realm, that we are part of the holy of God's realm, that heavenly kingdom. We have been translated, changed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his incredible light. But yet, so many of us live beneath our privilege. Notice what, there's some things I want you to pay attention to. One, that we are called in the Bible, the bride of Christ. Now, those of you that have gotten married, the person that you marry becomes part of your family. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see that Adam was supposed to cleave to his wife, and she was to cleave to him, and it was an eternal kind of idea. But yet what happens, what the fallen realm, that's why there is such an attack today on the family. For those of you that have not really been paying attention, in New York, the Supreme Court, they ruled that polygamy is okay. Now, that's the first court. Now, remember, when Justice Breyer made his dissension about the redefinition of marriage, he said that once we go down this rabbit hole, other things will become permissible using this very idea. And the court in New York used his dissent as their reasoning for opening up the idea that polygamy, having more than one spouse, is okay. You see, the very idea that, you know, you and you can make all the arguments you want to make about the finances, about the issues of this world, which is what the enemy wants you to do. But if you think about it, why did God say we needed two parents? Well, because between two people, you get one good one. Okay, let's just be honest about it. And many of us have at times failed. We've not done the things we should have done, and because of that, our marriages have dissolved, or one problem or another. But what would the idea being, as the bride of Christ, as His bride, we're trying to say, what do I need to do? How do I need to be so that I, as your child, as your bride, can be and build the kingdom of God here on earth until the day that you rapture me out or call me out by death, and then I get to come back in Revelation with you with your 10,000s and thousands of your saints on the white horses as you establish the millennial kingdom here on this planet. Well, you're also called into union with Christ, to join, to be one with Christ, to be one with Christ. The problem today is so many of our churches are so divided, they can't figure out where they belong. We are changing the very doctrines of Scripture. We are changing what thus saith God. And we wonder why we don't see the signs and wonders that God wanted to bring into our lives. The real reason is we've not joined into union with Christ. But I'm telling you right now, the very moment that the body of Christ joins back in and begins to walk in union with Him, I promise you, you will see a change in your life. You will go to war. You will understand truly what it means to have a table prepared in the presence of your enemies, because God will be feeding you and leading you and bringing you to that place that in Him that He's desired for you to be. That's why that concept of adoption is taught so readily through the New Testament, to remind us that we don't belong here, we belong there with Him. And that is why we as believers have to start saying, I belong to Christ. I'm not part of a denomination. I'm not part of an organization, but I'm part of the family of God. There's something special when we begin to act like family and stop acting like religious crazy people. Okay, that's my soapbox. We got to move on. Verse 14. Since therefore these His children share in flesh, and the blood in the physical nature of human beings, He, Yeshua Himself, in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death He might bring to naught and make of no effect him that had who had power of death, that is, the devil, and also that He might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. For as we all know, He, Christ, did not take hold of angels, the fallen angels, to give them a helping hand and delivering hand. And when you look at that, that's a reference to the book of Enoch, which is not a part of our canon. When Enoch talks about the angels that are fallen, you'll see that referenced again in Jude and in Peter. Take hold of the fallen descendants of Abraham to reach out them a helping hand or in a delivering hand. So notice that He didn't reach out to those that had fallen. He didn't reach out to the fallen realm. He didn't reach out to the other ones of Abraham's family that had went all in with the fallen realm and the idols, but He reached out to us as humanity. So what He accomplished as our brother, one, He became flesh like us, Genesis 3:16, which is the very first, the prophetic, it's a proto-evangelium, which means, He said this, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. He shall watch against thy head, and thou shalt watch against his head. That's from Septuagint. To watch there means there's going to be a war, a battle of some sort. And this seed of woman will crush or destroy the head of the serpent, or the Nakash, the fallen realm, but they're going to bruise his heel. But Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore the woman himself, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman, the virgin, who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Romans chapter 1 verse 13 says that, verse 3, the gospel regarding his son who to the flesh, his human nature, was descended from David. That Jesus was fully God, fully man. 1 Timothy 3:16, and great, important, and weighty, we confess is the hidden truth, the mystic secret of godliness. Now, I love that Paul does this. He gets your attention. I'm going to give you a mystery. I'm going to show you something you've not seen before. He, God, was made visible in human flesh and justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit, was seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. That Jesus was the image of God being fully flesh and fully God. You say, well, Dr. Stansbury, can I just tell you, quantum physics proves all of this, quantum entanglement. You can have one electron spinning in two directions at one time. So when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Before Abraham was, I am. All those references, basically you say, well, that's impossible in the human realm. And it is absolutely possible in any way that we understand it. But as we've studied more about quantum physics and string theory, we're beginning to see that some of the things the Bible talks about, a lot of the things the Bible talks about, is absolutely true. It's just that we haven't gotten to the place that we understand it. So the mystery is that Paul is saying that everything we need for godliness is in Christ Jesus. And that because of it being in Christ Jesus, because of it being in the flesh, he went through everything we went through. He destroyed the power of death, and it's told, look at Isaiah 25 and 8, he will swallow up death in victory. He will abolish death forever. Now notice that he speaks of death as a person. He speaks of death not as some abstract concept, but as a person. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And you'll see this is a direct it would be directly quoted in the book of Revelation, Hosea 13, 14. Should I ransom them from the power of Sheol, the place of the dead? Should I redeem them from death? O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your destruction? Relenting and compassion are hidden from my eyes. So the idea, again, that death and Sheol, the grave, are entities. Now, the Romans believed this. That's why death and hell always traveled together. Death was the one that took you to where your final resting place was. Death was a psychopomp. That's the very huge, long word there. It's a word that says he moves people from one place. He would take you to the river Styx in the Greek mythology, and you'd pay and you'd go across the river and end up wherever you needed to end up. So what Jesus is saying there, what the Bible says, is that Jesus has defeated the psychopomp, the one that would normally take everybody to Sheol, and now to be absent from the body. If you die, Christ is to be present with the Lord. You no longer go through all of that. 2 Timothy 1 and 10, it is the purpose and grace which he has now made known and fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who annulled death. Whoa, annulled as if it never happened. When you annul a marriage as if it never happened. And has made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death, and through the light of the through the gospel. John 12 and 31. Now the judgment, the crisis of this world is coming on. The sentence is now being passed on this world. Now the ruler, the evil genius, the prince of this world shall be cast out and expelled. You say, wait, now he says he's going to throw him out, but Dr. Stansbury, he's still running around. This is one of those yes and not yet. Yes, Satan has been defeated. Yes, it's a fixed fight. He pulled all the teeth out the lion's mouth. But he is still allowed to run around as a roaring lion, seeking those who are willing to give up and give in that he can devour. You see, Jonathan Conway talks about the return of the gods. Derek Gilbert was there with the return of Saturn. He and Sharon Gilbert with their books, Veneration and Giants, Gods, and Dragons. You begin to see that the fallen realm has been running this psychop on everybody for years, making us think they're stronger, they're better than what they truly are, when we as believers have all power through Christ Jesus. That's why when the demons saw him, they didn't understand why he was there, and they would say things like, have you come to torment us before our time? And they would clearly identify Yeshua as the Son of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, but then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by the appearing at his coming. Understand that when Jesus comes back, those of you that are worried about the Antichrist, it's not really going to be a fight. It's not even really going to be a war. He's just going to speak and it's done. And because of what Jesus did as our high priest by becoming us, he released us from bondage. To preach, as he said in Luke chapter 4, the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, the year that all your debts have been paid and you've been restored, the land that you lost has been restored. I believe that some of you watching today or listening later need to get a hold of the truth that you're no longer the person you were and you're not in bondage. And if you say, well, Brother Dr. Sainsbury, I don't know what you're talking about, then today can be the day you become a believer in Christ. and you can be set free. We're going to verses 17 through 18. So it is evident, now notice he said, so knowing all this, it's evident, should be plain, that it was essential that he be made like his brethren in every respect, in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in the things related to God, to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sins. For because he himself in his humanity has suffered, being tempted, tested, and tried, he is able immediately to run to the cry of and assist, relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, who therefore are being exposed to suffering. Notice what he's saying. Because he's walked where you've walked. He's experienced what you've experienced. When you call, he knows to come to you with what you need. Look at Galatians chapter 4. But when the proper time had fully come, God sent his son, born of woman, born subject to the regulations of the law. Born subject to the regulations of the law. So he was born under the Torah. He had to meet the requirements of the law. But then he died. Because he knew what it was like to be tempted by Satan. Look, Satan took him in the wilderness when he was at his lowest point physically and went at him. Philippians 2 and 8. And after he himself appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme death, even the horrible death of the cross. Why? For us. 1 Timothy 2, 5. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Can I just tell you that if someone told you there's a multiple ways to get to God, they're wrong. They told you there's multiple ways to get to Jesus Christ, they're wrong. They told you there's multiple ways to get saved, they're wrong. There's only one way. You will go by way of the cross, by accepting the Lordship of Jesus Christ into your life, allowing him to renew your mind and change your thinking so that you can accept him as your high priest. Once you accept him as your high priest, then you understand that there is change coming to you. Look at Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. And he shall receive power, who is the he, Yeshua, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. Whose throne? The throne that God's going to give him. And there shall be a priest on his right hand, and a peaceable counsel shall be between them both. God sits on the throne. At his right hand is Yeshua, Jesus Christ. He is the counsel. He is the mediator for us. When we have issues, we go to our mediator. If we sin and we confess our sins, he is righteous and just to forgive our sins. You see, the very idea, now we don't run out and say, well, let me sin so I can get more grace and forgiveness. Paul would say, God forbid to that. But what he's saying is when you do mess up, when you do trip and fall, don't stay in the dirt, don't stay in the mud. Get up and go back to the throne and say, Father God, I need forgiveness. And Christ will say, it has been paid for through the atoning blood of Christ. And then what you want to do is allow the Holy Spirit to get into your life and begin to change by the renewing of your mind, changing how you think. The word is metamorphosize, to change and become something new. But you don't think the same way, so you don't make the same mistakes. If you're an alcoholic, you quit drinking, and he'll help you do that. If you're a drug addict, he'll help you get off of drugs. If you're addicted to pornography or whatever, he can help you break the addiction if you're willing to go to him before the throne and say, Father, I accept your lordship. I accept your help. Because he knows and he aids us. He knows what we're going through. He's walked in your shoes. And what he wants you to understand today, what he needs you to get a hold of, I know you. You're my brother, my sister. You're my bride. And I'm coming today to help you. You know what? You don't have to live in whatever you're in. You don't have to keep suffering with what you're suffering. But what you can do is walk in that newness of life that comes only from Jesus Christ and know that he's got you. He can forgive you. He can change you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your power, your grace, and your glory. We thank you that you hear us when we pray and that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think, ask, or imagine. Lord, if there's anybody today that is listening to this podcast or watching via YouTube that they don't know you, let them today say, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I accept that he is Lord. He is Lord, and I bow my knee and declare his lordship over my life and accept what he's done and change their ways and let him change them. And Father, is anyone sick today? Let them receive their healing. If there's any having to deal with any issues, let them receive today from the hand of God that healing. And Father, for what we know you're doing, both in the lives of your people and through the lives of your people. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am so glad that those of you that are joining us live, if you're joining us on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you're joining us on your favorite podcasting app, like and subscribe. So that every time we post something new that you know it's there. Be in prayer. Again, we're still trying to think of some, looking at some different things to add to our ministry. Just making sure that the money, I don't want to go in debt. I want to make sure that everything is paid for and the way it should be. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Sands. We're saying, hey, let grace and peace be multiplied into your life and touch you in a very powerful way. So until next week, I'm right here, but I'll see you this next week. Have a great week. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansberry. Feel free to email Pastor Stansberry at pastorstansberry@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.